the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
So while online attention may be fleeting, acceptance of neurodiversity is steadily growing and more employers are recognising the value of different perspectives. To explore the unique viewpoint that comes with being neurodivergent in the workplace, I'm joined by entrepreneurs Gillian White of children's clothing brand Sully and Juno and Adam Harris of As I Am, Ireland's autism charity. You're both very welcome
to
the programme.
Good morning.
Adam, I might start with you. Your own entrepreneurial journey kind of started very early in school, didn't it?
It did actually, yeah. When I was in transition year, I was involved in setting up a mini company. At the time we were doing children's high-vis clothing and it was called Glow. And we made our way to a national final. But it really, I suppose, sparked something in me. That sense of being involved in something, leading a project, driving initiatives, creating something. And around the same time, I was really, I suppose, coming to terms with my own autism diagnosis, with the fact that I was autistic, being comfortable with other people knowing that.
And were you quite young with that diagnosis?
So I would have been diagnosed as a young child around the age of 5. I would have spent time in special education. But I think, like a lot of teenagers and young people, by the time I was maybe 11 or 12, I really didn't like seeing myself as different or talking to other people about it. But around the time I was 16, I began to explore that more. And I suppose I set up a blog, began to write about my experiences. And from there, As I Am was born. And today we're Ireland's autism charity. We're an autistic-led organisation, 65 of us. We're just gearing up to host the 14th Autism Europe Congress here in Dublin. And I suppose our vision is to bring about a society in Ireland in which every autistic person is accepted as they are.
So you really want companies to be more open to hiring people who are neurodivergent and improving that experience when they do. Gillian, in your own case, your diagnosis was later, wasn't it? Really, you were what age were you?
40.
Right.
Yeah.
And how did that come about? Was it something that you had always got a sense of?
I think so. My diagnosis was a surprise. I have three boys. I have four children. I have three boys, and my boys were very apparently autistic from a very young age. And a lot of my focus was on them and on their diagnosis, and my company grew from that. But my business partner, who was very, very neurotypical, gave me a little nod one day and said, I think that you should go and get an assessment. I assumed I was going for an ADHD assessment, and I am very, very ADHD leaning. But yes, I had a surprise autism diagnosis at 40, and it gave me so much clarity.
You're
about
even smiling
myself
when you say that.
Oh, I feel like I thought that I would go forward in my life, in my midlife, I would go forward and I'd live the next 40, hopefully 50 years of my life, knowing who I am. And what actually I got was clarity about who I was and who I was as a child. Because when I think back to my child self, I always, in my memories and in my visions, I always feel bigger than the space. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Elf, where he's sitting amongst his friends and they're all little tiny people and he's this big guy. Whenever I think back, the image of myself in the spaces when I'm 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 10, I'm bigger than the space. And I couldn't really put the language on that. I didn't really understand why I was and why I felt that way. And then getting this diagnosis, it took me a year. It took me a year for it to settle and for me to believe it, because I felt a little bit like an imposter.
And a lot of things then suddenly made sense about your own past for you. And what about the business and the inspiration for starting Sully and Juno?
Sully is my son. I have three boys and we were in COVID and locked down and I couldn't buy clothing for them because every time I went online to buy something, it would arrive and it wouldn't feel right. And I didn't really realise that what I was doing as a coping, as a parent, was I was feeling everything before I bought it. So my friend and I, we had wanted to start a business together and we decided that what we were going to do is we were going to make it so that from looking at our website, from reading the information about the clothing we were selling, you could know what it felt like, where the tags were, where the seams were. And it grew from that to be that we are now creating clothing without the tags, without the seams, with extra stretch. And we're getting feedback from our customers saying, I'd like it to feel like this or that or the other. And it's ever evolving.
And that sensory element is
sensory,
really important.
It's as important as how the clothing looks. Our clothing is not made specifically for people who are autistic or who have ADHD or who are neurodivergent. Our clothing is made for everyone. So we get a lot of people who buy for siblings and they can all match. And previously they couldn't do that. That's what we want.
And Adam, when you think about the diagnosis and the whole idea, whether it be autism, whether it's neurodivergence, what are some of the the adjustments that, that you've made in your own life? What kind of things do you do differently?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I've been really fortunate about is setting up your own organisation and setting up an organisation that seeks to be what we would call neuroaffirmative in everything that we do. So at any given time, around half of our team is autistic and neurodivergent. So I suppose from the ground up, we've tried to build a workplace that is accepting of difference. And part of that's to do with the built environment. So for example, we're partnering with a company called Codex, where we're looking at our office environment, where we have pods, seating, adjustments that make the environment more supportive for autistic people. But also it's really about culture within the workplace as well. You know, fundamentally, we're talking about differences around communication, around executive functioning, around how people think, how people process the environment. And it's creating a space in which that can be accepted.
And it's about educating people and giving them some experience.
We have a reality where 1 in 20 children in school today has an autism diagnosis. We're seeing a generation of autistic adults access diagnosis. And over the coming years, we're going to see that generation age out of school with the expectation that there'll be an opportunity to contribute to the workplace. And yet 85% of autistic people are thought to be unemployed or underemployed. So from a business need, there's a real need for businesses to reflect the communities they're seeking to serve, but also to get, I suppose, access to different perspectives and different ways to experience in the world.
And Gillian, for you, when you think of it in terms of challenges, but also strengths, do you find that you have particularly good focus?
I lean very heavily towards the ADHD part of my brain, so I have a very unique focus. What I have put in place for myself is that, or what has fallen into place for myself is that my business partner is the opposite. So when I am feeling very excitable and I'm designing and I'm feeling very creative, she can take that creativity and then she can multiply it in a way that's very good for business, a way that I possibly wouldn't have really had the capability to do myself, because my attention shifts and changes and I get very bored doing the same thing over and over again. I wouldn't really have been able to make 50,000 of the same thing if I was doing it by myself. I think that just sort of continuing what Adam has said, I think that the neurodivergent community and the neurodiverse brain is an undertapped resource in Ireland. I think that we are, we sort of tend to box people into, you know, them being difficult to employ or difficult to manage or difficult to fit into that work culture. And we're really missing out because of that, because we have a lot of different types of, on a smaller scale than what Adam has said, but we have lots of different types of people working with us. And we all sit around the table and we all have different ideas. And because of that, things have happened that I never could have done by myself, and neither could they.
And
it's
a lot
wonderful.
Of different skills and strengths as well.
Strengths,
and,
yes.
And Adam, what about overstimulation? Is that a common trait among people with a diagnosis, and how does that play out? Are there ways of dealing with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say for many autistic and neurodivergent people, the world can be a very overwhelming space. And I think people will often think about that from the perspective of, God, maybe Crow Park tomorrow afternoon is going to be a very overwhelming or busy place. But environments that can be perceived to be quite calm, quite typical for non-autistic people, can be perceived very differently by autistic people. I think it's important.
Do you find that sometimes?
Very
how do you deal
so.
With it?
You know, for me, movement is really important throughout the day. I can find it quite difficult to sit still for long periods of time. I can find it quite difficult to concentrate in certain environments. One of the things I've started using in recent times as well is a kneeling chair, which really helps me in terms of the pressure on my legs to be able to concentrate for longer periods of time. And I think it's important, if you're listening to this as a business, the sort of accommodations we're talking about could be really small. Like, it could be about a movement break. It could be about the sort of seat that somebody's using. And businesses often don't know where to start on this journey. There's a really good new scheme called Work and Access that gives subsidies, that pays for equipment, and that provides access to training if businesses want to go on this journey. And just this week, we launched a new charter with the insurance industry of Ireland, where they're making a commitment holistically to go on the journey to make their industry accessible to autistic talent.
And for some people, or even for yourself at times, when you find yourself in that situation, is it a matter of taking a bit of a timeout or something that helps you to focus or to concentrate?
Yeah, well, I mean, how I suppose stay regulated during the course of my day is a thing called stimming. And stimming might look like something very subtle for one person, or it might look more obvious for another person. But it's any repetitive action a person does in order to stay regulated. So for me, I can't decide when I do this, but if I'm out and about and I'm in my own thoughts, or if I'm very stressed, or if I've been sitting still for a long period of time, or if I'm very excited by something, I will begin to run on my tiptoes. And it will only last a couple of seconds. If I'm indoors, it'll be in a kind of circular pattern. If I'm on the street, it will be look like I'm moving erratically up the street. But for me, that's actually what I need to do to get through my day. And I suppose within the world of work, the reason this is important is it's not just about the permission to be able to get up and move around when you need to. It's about feeling safe in a workplace environment that you can do that. That may not cost any money, but it's so important that people can unmask and be themselves within the world of work.
And Gillian, if there was something that employers and businesses could do, there's lots of things they could do. If there was a particular thing that you think would really, from your experience of running your own business with Sully and Juno and everything, is there something that one thing even that people in employers could do to improve the situation?
I find that zones works very well for us. So we have an area of our studio that has low lighting. We have an area that doesn't have any sound or music, and it allows people to just flow into the places and the spaces that they need. That was very easy for us to do. It was very simple. We just have low lighting in one room, and that's literally lighting at a different level. That didn't cost us any money. That didn't cost us much effort. We allow people to have their safe spaces, and we also don't put any people under constraints. No, you have to sit in this room with us. You have to sit here and do this. You have to work from the studio. You can't work from home. It's just sort of being sound.
Being sound is an easy and a
that's
straightforward
something that
way
we can all do, and it doesn't cost much
it.
Money. No,
absolutely. Well, definitely lots for people to think about and take on board there. Adam Harris, CEO and founder of As I Am, and Gillian White, entrepreneur and co-founder of Sully and Juno. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Thank you.
Thank you.